Okay, imagine this. A company starts up in, like, a quiet provincial city. Seems to ignore all the rules, right? But then, boom, it just explodes into this massive global force. How does that even happen? That's really the incredible story of 1xBet we're talking about today. A true gambling behemoth. So in this deep dive, we're going to try and, you know, pull back the curtain, understand where it came from, the complex reality of how it operates, and crucially, how it used crime, money, and even state power in post-Soviet Russia to get there. Yeah, we've put this together based on excerpts from a really detailed investigation called Betting on Bryansk, Crime, Capital, and State Power. So think of this as your shortcut to getting properly informed on something super complex. It connects worlds you probably never thought were linked, and honestly, it's packed with some pretty surprising stuff. Right, so to really get 1xBet, you kind of have to start with the founders, three main guys, Sergey Karshkov, Roman Semyokin, and Dmitry Kozorin. They weren't just partners. Their team-up formed what's been called a near-perfect structure for something this, well, risky.
Yeah, near-perfect is a good way to put it. Think of them as three pillars, each bringing something essential.
Okay, like what?
Well, you had insider knowledge of how the state works, specifically law enforcement, then access to political connections, you know, influence, and finally the technical and legal smarts to build the whole thing.
Okay, let's break that down. First pillar, Sergey Karshkov. Born in Kyiv, 1980, moved to Bryansk. And here's the kicker. Before 1xBet, he was a major in Russia's Ministry of Internal Affairs, the MVD. Not just any major, mind you. He was head of the regional department for combating cybercrime. Department K, they called it.
Right. So he wasn't just aware of cybercrime investigations.
He was running them.
Yeah.
In the same region.
Exactly. Which is fascinating, isn't it? It perfectly shows that really ambiguous relationship between the state and certain kinds of enterprise in Russia. His MVD role gave him this incredibly deep state-level understanding of how law enforcement works, how to avoid detection. It was invaluable for 1xBet's security.
So it's like the classic Kreisha concept, the roof.
Absolutely textbook Kreisha. State agents providing protection, shielding illegal stuff. Some sources even called him a former Russian intelligence agent. His knowledge wasn't just protection. It was literally built into the company's design from the start.
Wow. Okay, so inside 1xBet, what did he actually do then?
His focus was apparently on marketing. Promoting the brand in different places, expanding your reach.
But even with that background, he ended up on an international wanted list in 2020.
Yep, Russia's investigative committee put him on it. Charges of illegal gambling, money laundering.
And then his story ends really strangely. June 2023, he dies. In a Swiss hospital, he was only 42.
And friends said he was super healthy, athletic, like a bull, was the quote.
But the official cause was
an exceptionally rare and frankly suspicious allergic reaction to gadolinium. That's the contrast stuff they use in MRIs.
It sounds suspicious.
Well, yeah. And you have to see it in context. Since 2022, there's been this string of like dozens of unexpected deaths among prominent Russian business figures officials, many of whom had, let's say, complicated or strained relationships with the Kremlin.
So his death.
It casts a long shadow of doubt, doesn't it? Especially for someone who knew so much about where the lines blurred between the state and, well, crime. It effectively silenced one of the only three people who knew the whole story.
Okay, moving to the second pillar, the money and the political cover. Roman Semyokin, the Bryansk billionaire. He brought the cash, but also the political insulation. That sounds important.
Hugely important. He started smaller, mid-2000s basement computer club in Bryansk, but he saw the potential in sports betting early on. From there, he built his whole empire. Construction, real estate. Apparently ended up owning a huge chunk of Bryant's commercial property.
And the political side, how solid is that connection?
Well, the most compelling evidence is this business partnership he had. Rabbit breeding, of all things.
Rabbit breeding, okay.
With the wife of Nikolai Patov. Now, Patov wasn't just anybody. He was a former Bryansk mayor, a deputy in the regional Duma, a member of the ruling United Russia Party, and a big construction guy himself.
Ah, okay. So that's a direct link.
A textbook example of how business and political power fuse in that environment. It gave Semyokin critical political immunity, that Kreisha again, but from a different angle.
Got it. So Semyokin moves to Cyprus around 2016. He claimed it was just for business, a more comfortable international project. But the timing is interesting, right? Years before the official investigation starts.
Exactly. It really suggests he saw the writing on the wall or got a heads up. And despite being on that international wanted list, he's living openly in Limassol. And he's basically doing the same thing he did in Bryansk, investing heavily in real estate construction. He even built a huge 22-story office building for 1xBet's developers there.
So he feels pretty safe in Cyprus.
Seems like it. He's also cultivated this image, you know, high-profile philanthropy, funding music festivals, donating to relief efforts after wildfires and during COVID. These look like pretty strategic moves to solidify his position there, get on the good side of the Cypriot authorities, make extradition less likely.
And just like Kharshkov, he also tried to create distance, right? They both publicly claim they didn't actually own the 1xBet trademark.
Yeah, they use the McDonald's analogy.
Yeah.
Like they were just franchisees licensing the brand. Plausible deniability 101.
Okay, pillar number three, Dmitry Kazorin, the quiet one.
Quieter public profile, definitely.
Yeah.
But maybe the most critical structurally. He was the architect.
Architect of what exactly?
Of the whole complex corporate structure. Specifically, he created and maintained that absolutely crucial link between the international, unlicensed 1xBet and its legal Russian twin, 1Kafka.
And we know this for sure.
Oh, yeah. Public records confirm it. Kazorin founded the company, Bookmaker Pub LLC, that holds the official Russian license for 1Kafka. He was still listed as a co-founder as late as June 2022.
So that link is solid.
It's definitive proof. It shows this wasn't accidental. It was a deliberate, thought-out strategy. It let them have the best of both worlds. Legal operations and profits in Russia via 1Stavka, and then huge untaxed global profits via 1xBet.
Wow. Okay, so you put it all together. A former top cybercrime cop, a politically wired billionaire, and a legal structuring genius. It really does sound like, well, the perfect team designed specifically to exploit the system, doesn't it? Not just navigate it, but actually use the rules against themselves. So let's dig into this a bit more. Why Bryansk? Why this specific provincial city as the birthplace for a global giant? Not Moscow, not St. Petersburg.
Well, the sources suggest Bryansk offered kind of ideal conditions for what they were doing.
How so?
Think about it.
Yeah.
Regional power tends to be more personalized, more consolidated than in the capital. Easier for someone like Semyokin to build those relationships.
Yeah.
Secure that local Khrushchev.
Right. Fewer layers of bureaucracy, maybe.
Possibly. And less intense federal scrutiny, at least initially. They could grow under the radar more easily.
What's the location itself?
Yeah, geographically, it's close to Ukraine, Belarus. And crucially, Bryansk had this pool of local IT talent. One report said something like 80% of 1xBet's IT staff, even those based in Cyprus later, originally came from Bryansk.
So they had the protection, the space, and the people. And it all started, as you said, in Semyokin's basement computer club back in the mid-2000s. He saw people betting informally.
Yeah, saw the potential in that gray market. So they officially founded 1xBet in 2007. And their growth strategy was aggressive from day one. Really fascinating. Competitive odds, definitely. They localized their online platform really quickly for different countries. A massive reliance on franchises and affiliates, which also helped obscure who was really in charge.
And the marketing.
Oh, relentless marketing.
Yeah.
Famously, they became one of the biggest video advertisers on the Russian internet, mostly through deals with pirated movie websites, get the brand everywhere, legal or not.
Then came 2014. Russia tightened the rules on gambling, right? The FNS license, the state-controlled payment hub, TSUPIS.
Exactly. That was a major turning point, designed to bring everything under state control, tax it properly.
So did 1xBet comply? Pack up the illegal stuff?
Not exactly. They did something much smarter from their perspective. They went dual track. The main 1xBet brand, the international one, moved offshore. Curaçao for the license, known for being, let's say, very relaxed. Cyprus for the HQ.
Okay, avoid Russian regulation that way.
At the exact same time, they launched 1Stavka inside Russia, got the proper FNS license, complied with all the Russian rules, used TSUPIS.
The legal clone.
Precisely. So they kept access to that lucrative Russian market, but through a completely separate compliant front, while the real money machine kept running offshore.
And that whole setup relied heavily on the Khrushchev effect you mentioned.
Absolutely. That early growth. Impossible without serious protection. You had Kharshkov, the former cybercrime chief, basically providing an internal shield. He knew how the system worked, how to avoid tripping alarms.
And Semyokin brought the political cover.
Yeah. His connections, like with the Potov family, the former mayor, United Russia connections.
Yeah.
That provided the complementary political patronage. It was a two-pronged protection racket, almost.
And the evidence suggests this Khrushchev is still active, even after everything.
It's pretty staggering. That 2024 investigation by Bellingcat and Josimar, it found 1xBet officially banned. Founders wanted internationally. Remember, it was running this huge network of live-streamed sporting events, likely fake amateur games, broadcast 24/7 for betting.
And where were these games being streamed from?
Right inside Russia. One of the main locations they geolocated was a place called the Alexander Stepan Football School. In Bryansk, of course.
Football school in Bryansk.
Yep. And get this. The school's own website boasts about its partnerships with Putin's United Russia Party and Gazprom, the state-owned energy giant that's under sanctions.
No way.
It gets worse. Photos showed kids posing with military gear, rifles, inside the same sports hall where these 1xBet gambling streams were coming from.
Bro, brazen. Utterly brazen.
It really is. And connecting the dots, an officially banned criminal operation run by wanted fugitives streaming live gambling content from a facility directly linked to the ruling party and a state behemoth like Gazprom in their hometown.
That's not just coincidence.
It's about as close to irrefutable proof of ongoing high-level creature as you can get. It shows their protection in Bryansk, held firm even years after they fled and the federal case started.
Okay, so they had this local protection for years, thriving. But eventually, the feds did get involved, the investigative committee. You'd think that would be the end, right? Game over.
That's what you'd expect. But here's the paradox. The criminal case didn't destroy them. It seemed to trigger more of a strategic evolution. Some sources suggest the case itself might have been less about justice and more about, well, leverage. A way to exert pressure, maybe extract something.
Interesting. Okay, so tell us about this case, the 63 billion ruble problem.
It kicked off officially in 2019, launched by the Bryansk office of the SKR, Russia's investigative committee. By August 2020, they publicly named Karshkov, Semyokin, and Kazorin as the ringleaders.
And the charge.
Illegal organization of gambling. Basically, running the betting operation between late 2014 and mid-2019 without the required Russian license.
And the scale, 63 billion rubles.
Yeah, about 886 million U.S. dollars at the time. Which, get this, was more than the entire annual budget of the Bryansk region itself.
That is just mind-boggling. An illegal gambling ring making more than the regional government's budget.
It shows the sheer scale of the operation. They also implicated another guy, Sergei Kretchetov, for money laundering.
So what did the Russian authorities actually do? They named them.
They seized some assets in Russia, about 1.5 billion rubles worth, charged the main three in absentia, put them on that international wanted list via Interpol.
But it felt symbolic.
Largely, yeah. The only actual conviction was in October 2021, a woman named Alessia Mospinova, who was just a local manager for Bookmaker Pub, the legal entity for First Mixtovka. She got a suspended three-year sentence.
So a slap on the wrist for a lower-level employee?
Exactly. Widely seen as just that. Meanwhile, the architects, the guys who made the billions, remained completely untouched, living comfortably abroad.
Which brings us back to their move to Cyprus, from Bryansk to Limassol. A strategic retreat, you called it?
Definitely strategic. Remember, they moved around 2016. That's years before the criminal case was even announced in 2019.
So they likely knew trouble was brewing or got tipped off.
It certainly looks that way. And once in Cyprus, they got citizenship, probably through that controversial golden passport scheme where you basically buy citizenship with investment.
Which makes extradition almost impossible.
Creates a massive hurdle, yeah. A very effective shield against Russian prosecution.
And in Cyprus, they weren't hiding, were they? They completely rebranded themselves.
Totally.
Yeah.
Shed the whole shadowy operator vibe. Started acting like legitimate international businessmen, public figures, gave interviews to Forbes Russia, invited reporters to tour their fancy new 22-story office building in Limassol, pushed the philanthropy angle hard.
And the Russian case back home, did it slow them down at all?
Seemingly not one bit. No real impact on their ability to operate globally, their wealth, or their freedom in Cyprus. They just carried on.
Which makes the end of Sergei Karshkov's story even more stark. He touched on it, his death in June 2023. Highly suspicious circumstances. Top Swiss hospital.
Right. The official story, that freak allergic reaction to MRI contrast, just doesn't sit right with many people, given everything else.
Especially given that pattern you mentioned.
Exactly. Those dozens of other prominent Russians dying unexpectedly since 2022.
Yeah.
Figures with complex Kremlin ties. Karshkov fit that profile perfectly. Ex-MVD major, co-founder of this huge state-entangled semi-criminal enterprise. Mm. He must have known things. Secrets that could be very damaging to very powerful people back in Russia.
So his death.
Permanently silenced one of the only three people who really knew how it all worked from the inside.
It really underscores the danger. Okay, let's talk about how 1xBet managed to be so resilient, operate globally despite all this. The corporate structure itself.
Yeah, that structure is key. It's described as deliberately complex and opaque, a masterclass in creating plausible deniability. It's designed for regulatory arbitrage, hopping between jurisdictions to find the weakest rules. Tax avoidance, obviously. And just generally making it impossible to pin down who owns what.
Like a hydra, you said. Cut off one head.
And the rest of the network keeps going, unharmed.
Exactly. It's not really one company. It's this huge, fragmented web of hundreds of companies scattered all over the world.
Built over 15 years, you mentioned.
Yeah, meticulously constructed to separate functions, software development here, marketing there, payment processing somewhere else, all designed to shield the ultimate owners from liability.
Which jurisdictions were key to this maze? Curaçao is central. That's where they got their main online gambling license, number 1668JC from Curaçao eGaming. It's notorious for minimal oversight, zero transparency. I mean, their main company, their 1X Corp NV, was even declared bankrupt in Curaçao and the Netherlands because they refused to pay out large winnings.
Bankrupt, but the brand kept operating.
Continued, completely unabated. Shows you how little connection there often is between the legal entities and the actual operation.
And Cyprus.
That became the operational HQ. Lots of key management companies registered there. Klopkniro LTD, Bonnell LTD names listed on the 1xBet website. But often these are just mailbox addresses, Schnells.
And when traditional banking got difficult, after scandals like that Sunday Times expose in 2019 that got their UK license revoked.
Yeah, banks started getting wary. So their solution was to pivot more heavily into cryptocurrencies, other kinds of financial engineering.
Making the money even harder to trace.
Precisely. Further obscuring the flow, keeping it outside the traditional financial system.
But the real genius, maybe the cornerstone of their whole strategy, especially for Russia, was that dual brand thing. The 1xBet, 1xStavka symbiosis.
Absolutely crucial. You have 1xBet, the international beast, operating globally, often without licenses, targeting unregulated or lightly regulated markets, Africa, Latin America, Asia. And then you have 1xStavka, the clean, legal, fully compliant bookmaker inside Russia. The legal clone.
And the link between them is Kazorin, the founder.
Indisputable. Kazorin founded Bookmaker Pub LLC, the legal entity behind 1xStavka. Plus, just look at them. The branding, the logos, the websites are incredibly similar. Some 1xStavka web addresses even redirect you straight to 1xBet sites. It's clearly one unified operation with two faces.
Okay, let's really spell this out. Compare them side by side. It highlights the strategy so clearly.
Good idea.
Right, legal status. 1xBet, unlicensed, even banned in Russia. 1xStavka, fully licensed by the Russian Federal Tax Service.
Significance. A deliberate plan to bypass Russian law while pretending to follow it.
Jurisdiction, 1xBet, offshore Curaçao, Cyprus, 1xStavka, domestic Russia.
Significance, keeps the massive international profits completely separate from Russian taxes and oversight.
Target audience, 1xBet, global Africa, Latin America, Asia mentioned. 1xStavka, Russians only.
Significance, maximizes global reach while maintaining a clean Russian operation.
Account currency, 1xBet, multi-currency, 1xStavka, rubles only.
Significance. Simple reflection of that international versus domestic focus.
Taxation. This is a big one. 1xBet. No tax on winnings for players. 1xStavka, 13% tax on winnings paid by player or bookmaker.
Significance. Creates a huge financial incentive for Russians not to use the legal 1xStavka, but to find the illegal 1xBet mirror sites instead to keep all their winnings.
Product offering. 1xBet. Sports, casino, slots. Even that eyebrow-raising Pornhub casino. 1xStavka. Only sports betting.
Significance. Ensures 1xStavka complies with stricter Russian laws limiting online gambling, while 1xBet offers everything under the sun offshore.
And finally, corporate linkage. 1xBet. Founded by Karshkov, Semyokin, Kazorin, 1xStavka. Legal entity founded by Kazorin.
Significance. Direct, documented proof of common ownership. Unified control. It's all one system.
So, yeah. What does this all mean? It means they built this incredibly complex system, like two sides of the same coin, each side perfectly crafted for a different legal and regulatory world. Ingenious in a dark way.
Absolutely. And the whole 1xBet saga, when you step back, it's more than just one company. It really is a quintessential case study of modern state-entangled Russian transnational crime.
A blueprint, almost.
Yeah, its journey reveals this sophisticated blueprint for how you can take regional political protection that Krisha and leverage it into a global, semi-criminal, hugely profitable enterprise. It shines a harsh light on that very murky, often symbiotic relationship between illicit money and state power.
So the Bryansk blueprint model is replicable.
It seems so. You need that fusion. Insider state security knowledge, the Siloviki connection, capital and influence from politically connected business figures, and the tech know-how.
The three pillars we started with.
Exactly. You incubate it under corrupt local power, scale up quietly, then boom, expand globally using opaque offshore structures.
And moving into those unregulated or lightly regulated markets globally makes it super resilient.
Incredibly resilient. If law enforcement cracks down in one country, they just shift focus, maybe rebrand slightly. The Hydra grows another head.
Which brings us back to that central paradox. The Russian state acting as both persecutor and protector.
It's the core puzzle, isn't it? Persecutor, okay. Sure. They launched the big investigation, threw around the 63 billion ruble figure, seized some assets, issued arrest warrants. It looked tough.
Looked tough, yeah. But protector and partner.
Well, consider Karshkov, former high-ranking MVD. The business grew up under United Russia's umbrella in Bryansk. The legal clone, One Sivstavka, is still operating freely in Russia today, making money.
And that disappearing criminal case.
Right. The case against the founders, reportedly just, vanished after 1xBet signed this massive sponsorship deal with FC Dynamo.
The football club with ties to the security services via VTB Bank, whose deputy head is the son of the FSB chief.
The very same. That huge payment at that specific time, it screams settlement or maybe even a bribe to make the federal problems go away.
And the live stream's still happening from that school, linked to United Russia and Gazprom.
Even while officially banned. It just defies any simple explanation of the state purely cracking down on crime.
So is it really criminals versus the state?
Or is it something much more complicated? A kind of symbiosis where criminal investigations aren't always about justice, but maybe tools for leverage, ways to extract payments, enforce loyalty.
So the 1xBet empire was allowed to grow globally.
As long as it played by the unwritten rules. As long as it paid tribute, effectively, to its powerful patrons within the Russian state system.
What an absolutely incredible story. We've really gone through the layers here, haven't we?
We have.
And hopefully this deep dive gives you, the listener, a unique window into how crime, money, and state power can intersect in these really complex ways, taking complicated info and making it, well, understandable.
It's a fascinating case study.
So, thinking about it, what does this 1xBet story really tell us about how power actually operates in certain parts of the world today? And maybe the provocative thought to leave you with is, what other huge global entities might be operating under similar unspoken rules of the game? Something to mull over. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive.